Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. For the next 24 hours, get as comprehensive a picture as you can of what you hear in your head about this issue. Keep the issue in the front of your awareness as you go about your day. Each time you become aware that attention is on the issue, notice what the voices are saying and jot it down. All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, can you hear me?
Perfectly.
Great, this is Sandy from Florida.
Hello, Sandy. What are
Hello.
You seeing?
Well, I'm not happy with what I'm seeing. I jotted down what the voices were yammering at me about yesterday for the last 24 hours. And what I'm hearing about practice is that I'm not doing enough. There's so much more I could be doing. I'm not trying hard enough. I'm not smart enough to do this. Everybody else does it better, wiser, prettier than I. The voices are really chewing me up about practice.
Well, yes, and you said something that's really critical for all of us to keep in the front of conscious awareness, and that is that they do that to make you unhappy. They do that to make you believe that what they're saying is true and continue to look at them for information about how to fix yourself.
Exactly.
Whereas, I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy listening to talk radio. I know many people do. I don't. And so I see those voices in the head as exactly like talk radio. It's important, we could say, to know what people are saying. If you're a person who likes to be informed about what's going on, then having a sense of what people are saying can be helpful. But once you get that, and then we move into the Thoreau realm, right? Once you understand the principle, you don't need example after example after example. So you've already heard enough to know that you don't need to give those voices any credence. They're just hateful. They don't tell the truth. They don't have anything to do with you. They're just saying hateful things to get attention. Oh, it's the internet. Oh, we've gone from talk radio to the internet. Are you with me?
It looks
Ashwini?
Like we lost. It looks like we lost Sandy. I can't find her in the queue.
Oh my gosh! I thought I had just stunned her into.
Well, let me look for her again. It was a stunning analogy, Sherry. But let me look for Sandy. Hang on one second. Nope, she fell off the queue. So
all right.
Well, maybe
we'll get her back.
Online. Yes. And that is so true that there's a choice as to whether or not we want to listen.
Yes. And once we know those voices, that those messages are just there to keep us miserable and keep us in a relationship with those voices, then really we're back to the drug dealer, right?
Yes, yeah.
Once you get it, that's all that's going on and that's all that's ever going to go on. If you realize you don't want to do drugs, stop talking to the drug dealer.
Right. Well, and it's that place we were looking at in the last 2 days of looking at process over content. So you turn on the radio and the content comes out, and what we're trained to believe is because it's coming out and we're listening to it, it's real. But there's a moment that we can disidentify and recognize the process that you're pointing to, which is, this is the process that leads to dissatisfaction, so I'm going to sidestep the process. I actually don't have to listen to it. I don't have to believe what it says, and none of what it's saying is true.
Mm-hmm. And as Sandy made that list, you know...
There she is.
There she is? Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Hello, Sandy.
Yes, I'm back. Thank you. I don't know what happened, but I got off.
I thought I had just blown you right off of the airwaves there.
Conditioning didn't want me to hear something good.
Yes, exactly. Well, you can listen to the recording. And so where I had gotten to with this, in further conversation with Ashwini while we waited for you, is that all you have to do is listen to that, which you did, and you wrote it down, and then imagine saying that to anybody else.
Oh.
And it's immediately clear. Of course you wouldn't. Of course there's no truth to that. It's just vicious. It's just mean. It's hateful. And the only motivation for doing it would be to make somebody unhappy if you could. So there, we know who we're dealing with. We know what we're dealing with, and we don't have to, as I say, give it credence. You may listen to it so that you can jot it down and remind yourself, oh, right, that's that hateful stuff. Uh-huh. Okay, that's what's not true. Right. Okay, got it. And then after a while, you won't even have to do that because it just feels awful. And as soon as we feel awful, we know, okay, I'm in the grip of hatefulness.
Yeah. I'm so all amazed right. when I get sucked into this nonsense. Thank you.
Oh, it's impressive, its ability to pull us in. It knows exactly when this is, you know, you're a little vulnerable here. This is kind of a weakened moment. You know, maybe you're not quite awake yet, or maybe you got really hungry, or maybe something upsetting happened. I mean, it's just poised constantly to jump in and take advantage of a moment. So, helps us wake up.
Thank you very much.
You are very welcome, Sandy.
Thank you, Sandy. And Jerry, there's another process piece that we can look at when we do these particular exercises in jotting down what the voices are saying. It actually assists us in the steps that we're doing to recognize the beliefs and assumptions and that important piece of how we're caused to suffer. So the attempt to record the voices is in service to a larger process of seeing how ego is operating.
Yes, and you don't mean record, you mean jot it down.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. Because that's how we get distance from it, right?
Mm-hmm.
When it's happening inside my head, and I've listened to it all my life, it's really believable. But I write it down and do that little, now would I say that to anybody else? You don't even have to add to somebody you loved. Would mm-hmm. you say it to anybody? Would you say it to a dog? No, because it's just ugly and awful. That's who we are.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Christine in Oregon.
Hello, Christine. What are you seeing?
Hello. So I am looking at how ego uses practice to improve myself, to be a better person, to do all that stuff. And so I just want to tell you something that happened that really threw me off. And that is that I've had a longtime friend, girlfriend, who, and our relationship has always, in my view, the relationship has always been, she has a lot of stuff going on in her life, a lot of dramatic stuff. Although, whatever, she has content in her life that she needed support to get through. And and I was the one who, I was one of the people who supported her and, you know, was there for her. But I didn't feel the reciprocal thing going on at all. But I, anyway,
right.
In that relationship.
Yeah.
And so it,
that was
it,
just
it
the, how
like
the relationship was.
Yeah, like I was the one there for her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wasn't really allowed to be like, well, you know, this is going on for me. I didn't do that much with her.
Yeah.
And so it seems now the relationship is sort of coming to an end, although it makes me feel really uncomfortable because we've known each other for so long. And so she recently said, made a comment to me in the last few months ago, and she said something like, I know that you do this, like, spirit, that, like there is something, you know, wrong with you in a way. She didn't say that. But she said, you know, I know you do this spiritual seeking, like, stuff, you know, to help you out. Almost like, you know, I can be kind of troubled, and I need this spiritual stuff, and I, you know, something like that. And it what it did was made it so those voices who say in my head, you know, there is something wrong and the spirituality stuff is helpful for me and I really should do it. Although that's not true, I want to do it. And this isn't exactly how I see practice, but this is what the voices say to me about practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it's almost like, what she verbally said out loud is kind of, you know, what matches a little bit what the voice
sure.
is saying in my head.
Yeah.
Oh, and
yeah.
And I've heard you say that before, you know, older people say things, the inner voices say things, but it really threw me off, kind of like, oh, no, now I'm seeing, like I'm supposed to hide it in a way from some people because some people, like maybe my closest, like my family, if they don't see that I'm becoming a more patient, loving, kind, better person, then I don't, you know, it's like I don't even want them to know that I have a spiritual practice because they're gonna expect that. Or something, you know, do you know what I'm saying?
Well, yes.
Which is
I
all
I
a
do.
Big,
yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's all a big okay. load of horse bucky. I've said that.
Yeah.
I've been working on the email. Uh-huh. I've written horse bucky like four times already this morning. Yeah, it's a load, right?
Yeah.
And so the thing that, you know, I would say, do you think this friend of yours, would you identify this person as conscious?
Oh, no. She says, you know, life
no.
is hard. Listen, like, you know, stuff.
Oh,
stuff.
No.
I don't know. Conscious.
Yeah.
She probably
no.
is sometimes, but I don't know. Not maybe not that
yeah.
much. I don't know.
Yeah.
Really.
Yes. Yes. So, right. So, I'm not saying that judgmentally, but you just would not identify her as one of your more self-aware friends, right? And so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, and mm-hmm. so then when she says something, ego is going to grab hold of that and
mm-hmm.
try to make that real for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. In the same way, it's inside your head trying to make that stuff real for you all the time. Well, you know, you
yeah.
only do this for self-improvement. And I love it that, I mean, it can just go off down so many tributaries, right? Well, you know, don't let anybody
yeah.
know you're doing this because if you do, then they'll notice that you're becoming kinder and then they'll expect you to be kind. And God, you don't want that. It's like, what
yeah.
is this nonsense? Yeah.
I know it is.
Mm-hmm. And as you say, and this is kind of what we were, anyway, it doesn't matter. We're always looking at this, okay? It's what awareness mm-hmm. practice is. We are becoming aware of all the ways that ego has been able to take hold of us and make us miserable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what awareness
yep.
practice is. And so you're getting to see how something that you would have never thought would throw you for a loop did. And then you get to see, okay, all right, when somebody out there says the same kind of thing that, the voices say inside my head, it could really rock me. Yeah, well, that's good to see.
Yeah, yep.
All right, very good. And,
Well, thank
Christine,
I
would encourage you just to go ahead and let yourself become kinder and more patient and more loving and more compassionate. And if people have that as an expectation for you, you can just smile because you have that as an expectation for you too, right? You also want to keep being,
Well, not only even because of anybody else in the entire world. Just,
no.
I mean, it's just for me, like just loving
that's
and
right.
kind for this human.
That's right.
Yeah.
It just
and
feels
so,
better. It's happy.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, it's just happy. That's why we do it.
Yeah.
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 All right. Well.
Okay, well,
keep
thank you
fun.
Very much.
Thank you, Christy.
Okay, you too. Go happy.
Bye-bye. Go happy.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, Christine. You know, Sherry, the thing I was watching in that conversation is how ego is ego everywhere, whether it's inside the head or outside the head. In other words, we're always, everybody is a voice of ego if they're not present. And so it's not surprising that what we hear inside the head is reflected from someone else because it's what's going on inside their head.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, Ashwini, we see it in two places that really fascinate me. One is advertising, of course, where a conditioned mind is just always on the lookout for ways to manipulate people to sell stuff. I mean, that's what's going on. So, you know, now it's being present. It's being in the moment. That's the, you know, take these drugs and you can just be giggling with all of your loved ones on a beach in Hawaii. And the other place is in humor, where people will catch on to the kinds of ego, will catch on to the kinds of things that can make a difference for people in their lives and then make fun of that.
Mm.
So that, and it's very much what Christine was just pointing at, you know, that making fun of, putting down the very kinds of things that can make a difference for people in their lives. Mm. And it's not accidental. I'm not saying it's conscious. Definitely not on the part of the people roped into those kinds of behaviors, but it's not accidental.
Mm-mm. No, because ego will do what ego will do, and it actually masks the fact of the truth that we have a spiritual practice because happiness is our inherent nature, and
that's
what we're seeking to be in every moment. So it's not that there's something wrong with you that you need the assistance. It's who you are or what you are, and that is what we're attempting to be present to in every moment.
Yeah.
It's such a subtle reframe of a spiritual practice by ego to be dismissive of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, I think, what
because
to everything that is going to help a person be conscious and present and kind and know that their consciousness, presence, and kindness is what gets mocked.
Yes. Yes. And it just feeds right into that insecurity that we're all trying to overcome because we have such a habit of believing that those voices have some kind of truth.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Karen.
Hello, Karen.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Ashwini. That just surprised me for some reason, the unmute. I'm looking at meditation, so I'm really happy to be on because it isn't so much, I mean, there are voices around it, but what I really noticed is that I've been really tuning into what people are saying about meditation, that some people have an experience of when they're meditating, they're sitting with God. And then I think I heard someone saying that meditation is like the most authentic, maybe, I'm not going to say this right, but just sort of the most authentic expression of just being with life, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then I hear yesterday's call, sitting with her, or sitting, and so it's more kind of not like a conditioned thing, but just a sense of, okay, that's certainly not the experience I'm having. And so there's been a real kind of curiosity about that, and a change, and this has been going on before this focus, but I really want to focus in on it now because I want to kind of keep it going and see what I can say about it.
Okay. So here's the, I'm probably going to, I'm on shaky ground here, but I'm going to say it anyway. And I don't know that this is true. This is what a yoga adept told me, okay? That what happened, how physical yoga came into being is that people would be in deep states of meditation and their body would spontaneously move. And at some point, somebody began to conclude that if your body moved in certain ways, it would take you to deep places of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Which might not follow. It's an interesting notion,
mm-hmm.
but it might not be true. Okay? And so, to leave meditation, and of course we really have to be careful because that's a broad word, right? Mm-hmm. But to leave meditation to pursue curiosity about other people's experience might not be the way to go.
Well, maybe I didn't word it very well. Maybe I didn't. Okay, let me see if I can say it another way.
Well, I don't think you need to, Karen. I feel complete in the understanding of this.
Okay.
And so to simply stay with meditation and let whatever is revealed to you be revealed to you.
Okay.
So if I'm in meditation and my body suddenly goes into a down dog. Okay?
Okay.
That would be
never happened.
that would be an interesting experience.
Yeah.
To go to the next day or later that day when I want to meditate, to go into a down dog, to get back to the place where I was when my body went into a down dog,
mm-hmm.
might be a bit of a bamboozle.
Okay. Okay.
In other words, yes.
Yeah.
It's moving, it's wanting to move into taking charge of or having control of our experience rather than just presence, letting go into presence and being open to whatever we receive, whatever is given to us.
Okay. Okay, well, I guess I'm going to have to listen to this and let it sink in because it's not entirely sinking in, but
well, yes, and which is another good point for us deep spiritual seekers. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's not going to sink in.
Yeah,
if we are doing awareness practice and we are getting it all the time, then we're not doing awareness practice.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's back to my teacher saying, for which I will be forever grateful, explaining to me that there might have been things the Buddha was teaching that I couldn't understand right then. Which is funny to think about. But most of us come to awareness practice with an idea that we should understand it. And anything that we can understand is not really the practice we want to be doing. Mm-hmm. So to live in a constant state of openness to what is being revealed to us is where we want to be. Not to be in our head understanding what is being offered to us.
Okay, so this is a really simplistic way of saying it. I'm just asking, might it be a koan? I mean, could it be a koan just to hold it, just to...
Well, you know, we're free to do whatever we want to do. That's the beauty of life, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just encouraging you in a direction that feels important.
Okay. Alrighty. I hear that. I think I went down maybe a road that is not helpful. That's what I'm hearing. And that you're kind of steering me back. I'm getting a little course correction here. And that's good. And I'm just, I guess that's the part I'm going to have to listen again because I'm not, I have to hear the course correction again.
Right. And that can be the koan.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. All righty.
Well, all right. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. And Sherry, we have time for one more caller. So here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vanessa.
Hello, Vanessa. What do you see?
Good, you can hear me. Let's see, what am I seeing? Oh, I really love this focus. And let's see, what I was looking at was, well, what dropped in was participation and also surrender.
Which is what we were just talking about.
Yes. Yes. And let's see, what did I see yesterday in hearing the voices? I think that the thing that I saw around participation, at first I was looking at participation in terms of like getting in the queue and speaking in group. That was a place of suffering for me. And so I was looking at that. And I saw that it was about surrendering the need to know that I was saying like the right thing or the good thing or what or just even what I was saying, like what it meant. So that was sort of one part of it, but then I broadened out the participation to like attending the meditation group or even getting on the call, like making sure I got on the call, all this stuff. And I was, you know, listening and kind of not really listening. I said, well, you just don't have time. And what I saw was that like, oh, well, just like I didn't even realize that was a voice. And then I was looking at it as, then I was like saying, well, what are the voices? You know, I got my notebook out and I realized that was a voice and it was just, it was just amazing. I don't know. Like it was so much the water that I swim in that I didn't even see it as a voice.
Yes. So Vanessa, when we talk about looking at conditioned mind instead of through conditioned mind. That's what we're pointing at. That's it. And I don't know where it was because, you know, we got so much going on, but I don't know where it was. But we were I think it was with Bob the other day. We were talking about seeing, turning attention to what's happening right now.
Yes.
Right? Not listening to a voice, which we don't realize is a voice. We think it's just us thinking about something, because that's how conditioning runs us, right? It comes in and says, look at that. Look at that. Okay, well, that would be the, okay, get out your notebook, Vanessa, and look at the voices. Says the voice.
Yeah.
And it's never gonna be about that. Which again is what I was just hopefully pointing at with Karen. It's never going to be about that. It's always about now. This.
Yeah.
It's not somewhere else. Something else we're going to get. Everything we're looking for is right here, right now.
Yes. 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 Yeah, just like right now and right now, and anything that we're thinking like, okay, well, I don't know, it just seems really tied up with that surrender, like surrendering that need to know what's next or how it's going to turn out or whatever.
Or to understand anything or to have a plan.
Understand anything. Yep. Like have a plan. Yep. Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because every moment is completely new.
Uh-huh. That's right. And it's just being in presence. Or we could say being presence. That's it.
That's it.
We're never going to get anything.
Yeah. Yeah. But then we get everything.
But then we get everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're happy. Thanks, Vanessa. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show. And so our assignment for today, Friday, is notice how much of the conversation in your head is in support of unexamined beliefs and assumptions. Review the various statements from the voices that you jotted down. What beliefs and assumptions are revealed by the review? A belief and assumption could be revealed by a single statement or a collection of statements. Write down the beliefs and assumptions. Record and listen what you see. Example, voices. There you go again. Why don't you just reflect? Why do you react? So much for your Zen training. Belief getting identified is wrong.
All right. Well, here we go. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody.
And we'll talk to everyone on Monday.
Yes. All right.
Thanks,
bye-bye,
everyone.